Because we're talking about, we're in our second lesson of storm changers. And we're talking about what it means to address and change the storms of life. And every life has storms. I'm not going to sing it to you this morning, but every life does go through storms. Every life has issues that they're dealing with. And a storm is a dramatic or traumatic situation that impacts daily life. It could be almost anything that is sweeping into your space and disrupting your normal flow of activity. This is a very comfortable cot. Last service, I had somebody come up to me and they said, "How you doing?" I said, "I'm doing great." They said, "I want to talk to you about your sermon." I said, "Absolutely." I was all geared up for a deep question. He said, "Where did you get that cot?" That's all they actually wanted to know. It says Field and Stream on it. That's as much as I know about where to get it. So we're dealing with storms. Now, in the Bible, the scripture gives us an illustration, a story of the disciples. They're in the boat, they're in the middle of the sea, and Jesus is sleeping in the boat. He's just got his head on a pillow and he's just resting. It's kind of comfortable like this. He's just comfortable, he's just resting, and he's asleep as the storm is going on. Now, in this process, as the storm rages and rises, the Bible tells us that the disciples become afraid because the storm is going to sink their boat. And Jesus is just laying here. Some of y'all don't think preachers work very hard. This is even working less right now. I mean, I'm just relaxing during this sermon. And so they're in the middle and Jesus is sleeping. And finally, Peter has kind of had enough of the situation. And he gets Jesus' attention. He yells at him. He says, "Teacher, don't you care?" And Christy, why don't you read for us the last scripture there concerning what Jesus did and now the template that we're going to use in becoming storm changers in our own lives.
He said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm.
Do you not care? And now Jesus begins to act. He's been sleeping, and now he begins to act. And key number one to becoming a storm changer in your life is Jesus got up. He got up. It's as simple as that, and it's as complicated as that. He actually got up. He fixed his clothes. And now he's there in front of everybody about to do something. The big idea for us today, if you're a note taker, we have an opportunity for you to take notes in your bulletin. The big idea is this: the storm changer gets up to face the storm. He gets up to face a storm. Now, Jesus is laying there. He's rested and he's relaxed, but he has to change his posture in order to address the situation that he's dealing with. He's got to change how he is presenting himself. And that's thought number one of the three thoughts for us today. Thought number one is your expression of authority shifts when you get up. It shifts when you get up. Now, it's interesting that your authority itself doesn't change. Jesus was God on earth. Jesus was God on earth who, the Bible tells us that even after he was dead, was still in charge. Jesus died and then he went to Satan and he took from Satan the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He wasn't not in control. He didn't lose control just because he was laying there. But when he wanted to change his expression of authority, he got up. He stood up on his feet. And you see this throughout many examples of life. A dog will do whatever they want to do. My dog, I have a big dog, and my big dog will look at me while I'm sitting down, and he will go towards the thing he knows he's not supposed to go towards. It could be anything. It could be bread sitting on the countertop. It could be a steak sitting on the floor. It could be anything. And he'll look at me, and he'll look at it. And I'll tell him, don't do it. And he'll walk to it. And I'll say, don't do it. And he'll look at me, and he'll look at it. And he will keep doing that until I stand up. When I stand up, he will lay down. And what he's doing is he's telling me, hey, whoa, 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 whoa. You've changed your expression of authority. I understood your desire when you were sitting in the chair. But now that you've changed the expression of your authority, I think I'm going to just lay down here and ponder the error of my ways. Sometimes I think he's literally repenting. I'm not sure, but I think so. Sometimes whenever our kids are in school and they're dealing with bullies, I don't like bullies. Never like bullies. But we tell them, stand up to the bully. I went to 15 elementary schools and junior highs, all combined, and then I went to 4 different high schools. I know about bullies. I was the new kid in every school. I became a professional new kid. And in every school, somebody tried to bully me. In every school, somebody was the one just getting on my nerves every way that they could, showing how tough they were. And when I was in elementary school, there was this one kid, I don't remember his name, but what he would do, we'd be on the playground playing, and he would run from across the playground until he got close to me. Then he would jump, and he would jump on my back. He would wait till I wasn't looking, and usually he'd knock me to the ground. Or, sometimes I'd catch him and stagger all around and try to keep my balance. And I would go to him and say, hey, bud, call his name. Why are you doing this? It's fun. Why are you doing this? I don't know. I want to. Stop doing this. Please stop doing this. And I would beg him, please don't do this. Please. And he would just laugh, and the next day, he'd do it again. And I'd go home, and I'd tell Dad, I'd say, Dad, this is what he's doing, and I don't know how to stop him. I mean, I've tried to talk to him. I've said, what's going through your mind whenever you're doing this to me? What is the point? What are you trying to achieve? And he'll just laugh, and my dad said, you need to stand up to the bully, son. You just need to stand up to the bully. Stand up to the bully. So one day, I just had enough. And I saw him, he was across the playground, and he started running. And I knew he was running to jump on my back. And I kind of braced myself for it. And just as he left the ground, with glee and joy in his eyes, I stepped to the side. And as he came down, my fist came up. I'm thinking about parents explaining this to their children, but anyway. Now, here's the reality. I barely grazed him. A baby fly would have survived what I did to him in that moment. And I was nervous. I was nervous. I was afraid. I didn't know what was going to happen. We might have this massive fight. And, I wasn't really a fighter. I'm more of a peacemaker. And so I knew. But I also knew that my fist had barely touched anything. I don't even think it was him. I think it was like his shirt or something. And I had missed entirely. And I knew this was going to go down bad. But as he lay upon the ground, having fallen upon the ground, he started going, oh, and I looked at him, and I was astonished that he was hurt. And I looked at him, and he's going, oh, and he's holding his head like this, And I'm looking at him like, man, I'm tougher than I thought I was, you know? And I go down to see if he's okay. And I see that right beside his head, there's a rock. And when he had tried to jump on me and he'd fallen on the ground, he hit his head on this rock. So I did what every self-respecting individual will do. I grabbed that rock and threw it as far as I could. And we got into his feet and he staggered around a bit. And we were in line going back into the school. And I heard from the back of the line, "Don't mess with Micah. When he hits you, it feels like you've been hit by a rock." No more bullies in that school. I had a good reputation. Undeserved. But it was mine. And I kept the peace in my life after that. Sometimes we don't stand up to the bullies. When we stand up, we shift our expression of authority. And the reason why we don't stand up, though, is because we don't want to make ourselves a bigger target. I was scared that if I stood up to him, that now he wasn't just going to jump on my back. He was going to punch me in the face. Or it was going to escalate in some manner that I wasn't going to be able to handle. I was afraid of it. I was afraid of making myself a bigger target. And if I had to fight him, then I might have to fight all of his friends and then all of his relatives. And, you know, I'm from the South. This could get big, you know. We could have all kinds of, you know, feuds going on and stuff. So I'm struggling with what to do. And all he really needed was somebody to stand up to him and say, "I'm not going to deal with this like this anymore." But we don't want to be the bigger target. So sometimes, men, sometimes we stay seated to avoid the pressure of making a decision. We don't want to make that decision. The storm's brewing, but if I stand up, then I'm going to have to make a call on this, so I'm just going to stay seated. Sometimes, ladies, you'll stay seated because you don't want someone to judge you in a negative way. So you won't say anything. You won't stand up. You won't make yourself a bigger target because others might judge you. Students, maybe you stay seated because you don't want other kids at school to judge you as that guy or that girl or have this opinion of you that you can't control or don't know what it will be. And so here you are in a place where you just stay seated. You're going to let what happens. I'm just going to try to survive. Maybe I can keep the boat from rocking too much. And I'm not going to try to do anything about it. I'm certainly not going to stand up because, well, you know, I don't know how it's going to go in the end. And so you don't stand up. You remain seated and the storm rages on and nothing changes. Now, some people, they use the idea of pride to stay seated. They say, "I'm going to stay seated because I don't want pride to cause me to stand up. So I'm just going to, you know, keep a low profile here. I'm not going to take any action because I want to be humble." I, you know, and sometimes people just have to run over you. And as a humble Christian, you're just going to take it and take it and take it. I want to encourage us today. Don't spiritualize weakness. Don't spiritualize weakness. As Christians, we have a lot of cool sayings that we use to get out of making a decision or taking a stand. We spiritualize the idea of we don't want to make waves. We don't want to cause a problem. We don't want to rise up in pride. It wasn't pride that caused Jesus to stand up in the boat. It wasn't pride, and it's not going to be pride in your life that causes you to take a stand in the storm that you're in. Some people use choice as a reason to stay seated. They say, you know, my two-year-old Johnny, you know, I want him to make his own choices in life. And so Johnny likes to eat glue. And when I take the glue away from Johnny, Johnny screams and he's upset. And so, you know, I don't want Johnny to scream and be upset, so I'm not going to take the glue away from Johnny. So Johnny eats glue all of his life. And then at 32, he can't keep a job. Because he's never, number one, he ate a lot of glue and that does stuff to you. But number two, he can't keep a job because he's never learned how to have a no said to him. And he's never had to submit to anything else. And even if it's toxic, I find it interesting. I'll use that word. I'll find it interesting that sometimes we as parents, we will insist that our children get up and go to school. We know good and well they don't want to go to school. We know good and well they'd rather stay home and sleep all day long and play video games and eat ice cream, all that kind of stuff. We know this. But we say, no, you're not going to do that. You're going to get up and you're going to go to school and you're going to get educated. And then some of us say, and not only that, you're going to go to college. After high school, you're going to go to college and you're going to get an education so that you can have a good life. But we will sometimes give them the choice of whether or not they're going to learn about Jesus and be in church or not. And we will say, well, I want them to choose their faith. Well, I'll tell you how I've approached that in my world. There is coming a day when my kids will have the choice as to whether they're going to follow Christ or not follow Christ. That's an absolute. But what I've told my children is that I have one actual goal in life, and that is to see you make it to heaven. I want you to go to heaven. I want you to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So maybe you never have a great job because maybe you didn't get a good education and maybe you didn't achieve all kinds of stuff in this earth. But if you live 80 years and you're poor and you're dumb and you're uneducated and yet you die and go to heaven and live for eternity in heaven, then I will still have been a success as a father. I will have still done my job. Because once they leave my house, they have every opportunity to make any choice that they want. But their choice begins. It begins when they're not eating my food, when they're not sleeping in my house, when they're not driving in my cars, and when they're not sucking up the oxygen in my home. After that, they have all the choice that they want. We can't take their choice away, but I'm hoping that I can put enough in them. I can stand up enough for Jesus Christ and Him crucified that those boys will learn something is bigger and something is greater than the world around them, and they'll grab a hold of that gospel of Jesus Christ, and it will make them successful in their life no matter what else happens. No matter what else happens. Standing up. When Jesus was sleeping on the boat was the most noticeable thing. You looked out into the sea and you saw the boat. You didn't see Jesus. But when he stood up, he became visible. Standing up in authority isn't pride, but it is confidence. It's the confidence of knowing who you are as a man, as a woman, as a child of God. It's the confidence to say, hey, I was made for this. I was made. I have intrinsic value because I am creation of God. I am made of God. I am the son, the daughter of God. So there's an intrinsic value in my life. And so I'm going to stand up for something. I'm going to stand up for my house when something's coming against my home. So when something's not right in our house, we've had to have conversations in our home. When influences that were not good for our house began taking root there, we had to stand up and say, no, we're not going to accept this. We had to stand up and say, no, we're not going to let that kind of language in our home. No, we're not going to let those kind of movies in our home. Those kind of books aren't going to be in our home. Those kind of magazines aren't going to be in our house. We've had to stand up for some things. We've had to have some tough conversations. But if you want to address the storm, you're not going to address the storm laying down. You're going to have to stand up in your life. Operate in the authority that you have. Thought number two is that standing up is a positive movement. Sometimes people don't want to stand up because, well, if I'm laying there and I'm all nice and comfortable and everything's good and then something happens and I stand up, doesn't that look like an aggressive action? And I don't want to be an aggressive person. I'm not an aggressive person. But standing up isn't necessarily aggressive. Standing up is decisive, however. It's decisive. Let me show you a couple of biblical examples. Abraham was dealing with a storm in his family. He had this son called Ishmael, and he had this son called Isaac. And Isaac was the promised child, but Ishmael was his firstborn. And he has this incredible stirring of family drama going on. And so the Bible says that Abraham, upon hearing the voice of God, he got up, he stood up, and he went to sacrifice. He went to sacrifice. He didn't go to fight, he went to sacrifice. If you think about the man called David, the king called David, David is he's had an affair with Bathsheba, and now they've had a child, and now they're actually married now, and they've had a child because they had the affair. Then he murdered Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, and now David and Bathsheba are married, and they've had their firstborn, and the firstborn is sick, and David is grieving his firstborn, and he wants his firstborn to get well, but he doesn't. And the child dies. It's a storm in David's life. But how David handles it is, the Bible says, he got up, he stood up, and according to Samuel, he went and he worshiped. He stood up with the intention of worshiping. You have Elijah. There was a storm in his life. False idol worship was just causing a huge storm. And he himself was in jeopardy of losing his life. And yet Elijah got up. And when he got up, he began to prophesy over the nation of Israel. Jesus, the storm of ministry pressure roared around him. And yet the Bible says he got up early in Mark 1 and he went to pray. Sometimes getting up doesn't mean getting up to fight a physical battle. Sometimes it means getting up to do something entirely different, but it does include getting up. Sometimes the action isn't inherently aggressive, but it reveals the decision to engage. Could it be that some storms remain in your life because you have never intentionally engaged them? You've never looked at it and said, I'm not going to handle that like I always have. The marital storm is building. But instead of standing up, you just remain seated because, well, it could get worse. Or maybe it's an issue on the job. Somebody is talking to you in a particular way and it's just not working for you and it's tough but you don't want to address it head on because you need this job and you just want to make sure everything's okay. Maybe that friendship at school is getting tense. They're going in a direction that you know you can't go. And so you're saying, I can't go there. But you keep getting dragged along because you don't want to stand up. Standing up is a positive movement. It's not inherently aggressive, but it is decisive. It's saying, here I am. Here I am. As the new kid in school, oftentimes there was an opportunity. They would, first day of school, they would begin, or whenever I got there, the first day of my school, they would read the names in the class. And I always hated it, actually, whenever somebody would say, oh, and we have a new member in our class today. Really? There's 12 of us in this room. You don't think anybody could pick out the stranger? Me, Kia. My K. My favorite, an English teacher, used to say, Miha. I know. Finally, I said, why? And she kept saying, is Miha here? And I was like, I wasn't answering. She knows where I'm sitting. She can see me. I'm the only new kid in the class. And finally I said, why are you saying that? She said, isn't this Hebrew in origin? I said, yes, it's from the Bible. I'm just trying to give it back its original. How about my mama calls me Micah? Let's do that. But it was tough when they'd say, could you stand and tell us a little bit about yourself? We don't do this at McCord, so if you're a guest with us right now, calm down. But we have, I was in a service one time, and I saw some new folks. And afterwards, this is at Legacy in Kona. So after service, I got to meet them, and they were really cool people. We got to talking, and I said, hey, have you been here? And they said how they'd gone to several churches. They said, we just want to thank you. I said, well, you're welcome. And they said, no, we want to thank you because we are you didn't have a stand. And I said, no, we didn't. And they said, the last church that we visited, now this has happened to you, and there's a church in the area that does this. Just God bless them, okay? This isn't, but they said, oh, you're new here today, right? The pastor did, and they said, yes. And they said, why don't you stand? So they stood up, and they said, if you were to be any vegetable, what vegetable would you be? Now, there's a lot of questions that I've been asked over the years, but that's not one I have a quick answer to, you know? It's just not. So if you're a guest with us here today, I want you to know, I don't care what kind of vegetable you will be. I just am thankful that you're here this morning. But how uncomfortable is that to have somebody make you stand up in the middle of everything, and yet that's exactly why we often sit down when we should be standing. That brings us to thought number three, and that is standing up isn't without risks. It's not without risks. Jesus was in the middle of a storm with fishermen who thought they were going to die. These guys were expert fishermen. They were not novices on a boat. Tom's a fisherman. And I'm pretty sure that if he's out on Lake Erie and a storm comes rolling in, if Tom's afraid and I'm with him, I'm completely freaked out. Because he's been in storms before. I hadn't been in that many storms I've been in no storms on a sea or a lake. And so here they are. Jesus is laying down. These expert fishermen know that they're going to die in this storm, and yet Jesus stands up. Can I tell you this? If safety is your number one goal, don't stand up. My daddy taught me this. He said, if you're in the canoe with me, son, you don't stand up in the canoe. Why? Because the canoe will... When you stand up in this boat isn't for standing, it's for sitting and rowing. And now you have changed the dynamic. Christy and I were on a safari in South Africa, and we were doing missionary work in around the southern area of Africa, and we had the opportunity to go on safari. So here we are, and the guide told us that morning, he said, listen, we're going out to where we've heard sightings of prides of lions. And we were like, oh, we're going to get to see lions. He said, yes, but I want you to be careful. I want us to be careful because this is mating season. And so all of the male lions are hyper aggressive right now. And we were like, okay, I won't fight one, you know. And so we're sitting there, and we're in a Jeep that has tiered seating. So there's it kind of goes up like this. And Christy and I are in the third row, the highest row in the very back. And we're sitting there and we're going along. And finally, the guy stops the Jeep and he looks back and he says, okay, we're getting close to where the lions are. So remember, they're hyper aggressive right now. So just everybody, you know, be careful. And we were like, okay. But I noticed, because I'm a noticer, that he has a rifle on the grill of the Jeep, but his rifle is in a zippered rifle case, and the zipper is still shut. So as we start to go, I say, oh, wait. And he says, yes. And I said, I've noticed that your rifle is zipped up. He said, yeah. I said, he starts to go. I said, hold on. Don't you think it might be a good idea if the lions are hyper aggressive to at least unzipper it? Because if that lion decides to come say hello, I want you to be able to do something fairly quick. He says, oh, no, you don't have to worry. Just don't stand up in the vehicle. Okay. You have some kind of a written agreement with the lions that as long as we don't stand up, they're not going to mind that we're here. I get it. I said, that doesn't make any sense. And I was his favorite person on this crew, I'm telling you. And so he said, no, see, what happens is the lions are accustomed to the sound of the vehicle, and they're accustomed to the profile of the vehicle, and they don't associate us with a food source. So they're actually, as we drive up, they're going to act like we're not even here. They're not even going to worry about us. But if someone stands up, it changes the profile of the vehicle, and now they could see us as a threat. And I said, huh. Now we're sitting on that last thing, and we got into this place where the lions were kind of around us, and one of them walked by, and I could have reached out and went, hey, kitty, kitty, just like this. His back was right here next to me. I had no idea. When you're standing way up there on the top of that thing in the zoo and you're looking down, they don't look that tall. But that lion was really, really big. And I was like, wow. I kept my hands and feet inside the vehicle at all times. And no one stood up. No one stood up. And that's what the enemy would like for you to do in your life right now. They would like for you to stand up. And he would like for you to know that it is absolutely dangerous to stand up. If you remain in the same place, if you don't stand up, you won't be a challenge to anything, and everything will stay exactly the same. My question to you this morning is, how long are you willing to tolerate the storm before you stand up? How long are you going to let the bully jump on your back before you stand up? How long are you going to allow that person to disrespect your life before you stand up? How long are you going to let that situation mess with your family before you stand up? How long? In my opinion, the saddest reality is that most people use excuses to avoid standing up, knowing the situation is going to change anyway. The disciples were absolutely convinced they were going to die in the storm. And here's the reality. Dying with a sleeping Jesus or dying with a standing Jesus is the same. It's all dying. But what if? It could be that you standing up won't make any difference in your world. It could be that you standing up will just mean you get knocked down again. But what if you standing up actually changes something? You won't even have the chance to know if you stay laying down. But if you stand up, you have the opportunity to change the profile of your situation. To change the reality that you're in. You could be the storm changer that is needed in that moment just because you are willing to stand up. But remaining in your current state ensures that nothing will change. Jesus stood up because his faith was in his Father. And he knew the storm couldn't take him out. And so he said, laying down or standing up, I'm going to take control of this storm. At least I'm going to give it my best shot. What it looks like in every life is a little bit different, because every life is different. If you're dealing with a marital issue right now, then maybe standing up for you is opening up the dialogue. Maybe it's not even opening up the dialogue. Maybe it's just saying, I'm going to open up the dialogue. Christy and I were going through a really tough time in marriage. We thought we might get divorced. And as we're going along, somebody, one of us, and I'm not sure who it was, but one of us made an incredible choice. We stood up whenever we clicked the email program, and instead of talking about our marriage situations, we started writing about them. When we started writing about them, it allowed us to write it and to think about it and then to rewrite it and to think about it and rewrite it. And by the time we sent it, it was pretty clear and we could have a back and forth. And when we got home, we weren't yelling at each other, because at home we were just together and we just were parents to our children and we kept our home safe. But we still were able to work through our issues in writing. That might be standing up for you. Maybe standing up for you, maybe in your world you have to stand up to yourself. I know a young man who had a chronic problem with overspending. And he stood up when he took out his wallet one day and he took his credit card out of his wallet and he handed it to somebody he trusted and he said, I don't need that back until I get myself squared away in my finances. That's standing up. Maybe the situation at work Maybe it's just you sent a meeting request to your boss or your downline, whoever it may be, and you haven't said anything yet, but you sent the meeting request and you said, on this date, we're going to meet. And you know in the comment section, you know what you're going to put there. You know what your situation is. It's not easy, and I've experienced the storms. And this morning, if what I'm talking to you about connects with you, then I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to make you say anything. I'm not even going to ask you to come to the front of this church. But what I am going to ask you to do is this. And I was blown away by the response in the first service. But if you're going through a storm and you know it's time for you to stand up, then I'm going to ask you just to stand. Stand as a couple, stand as a single individual, stand as whoever you are. But if you are dealing with a difficulty, with a storm, you know you're going through it, and you know it's time for you just to take a stand. Next week and the following week, we'll talk about what to do after you stand. But you just know it's time to stand. I'm asking you to stand. And I'm going to pray for you. Thank you for the courage to stand. 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 Let's bow our heads right now. Father, each one of these that are standing, they're in a boat. The storm is raging. But as of today, they're no longer in the storm laying down. They have decided to take an intentional action to change the storm. And so in the name of Jesus right now, I speak increased balance in their life. That as the boat is rocking, that they will be able to keep their feet. I speak peace over their mind. That as the wind howls, their mind will be sharp and clear as they make decisions that are not reactive but proactive. Where they change their stance. I pray that the Holy Spirit would empower them in such a way that they would feel confident to stand in the face of the storm and make the difference. This week, as they begin to take stands all over our city, all over this metro area, I pray, Lord God, that we would hear testimonies of doors they thought were shut being opened. Of opportunities they thought were missed being revived. They thought it was all going to go downhill from here. But they stood up. And we're believing you for miracles in their life right now. In Jesus' name. And if you agree with me in that, would you say amen? Amen.